This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Yesterday, at midday, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar shocked the political world and indeed people around the country when he announced that he was stepping down as Taoiseach and leader of Fine Gael. The leadership of Fine Gael he vacates immediately, and he will still be Taoiseach until a new leader of Fine Gael is elected. That will be very soon. It's not a lengthy process. At the moment, the favoured candidate by many in the party is Simon Harris. And we're joined now by Fionnuala Sheehan, Ireland editor of independent newspapers and one of the most experienced political commentators that we have, as well as his many other gifts. Fionnuala, this was a genuine shock.
Yeah, it was. I mean, look at it this way. Leo Varadkar was having dinner with Jeff Bezos of Amazon on Saturday night. On Sunday night, he was presenting Joe Biden, the leader of the free world, with a bowl of shamrock in the White House. And on Wednesday morning, he was resigning as leader of the country. And in the intervening period, there was no indication of anything happening. Word began to kind of eke out yesterday morning that something was going down inside in government. It was unclear exactly what it was. Varadkar going was on the kind of list of options, along with, you know, Pascal Donoghue or Simon Coveney, or was it something to do with the European Commission or even a general election, or was Michael Leasick or something like that? So
yes.
As the morning went on, it became apparent that no, this was all pointing in one direction. So look, as somebody said to me in Fine Gael last night, this government leaks everything. This is the first time they haven't leaked a significant story. So that's hats off to them in that regard. What was, you know, it was a surprise, but it's not a shock that he's gone either. At the same time, he has been struggling since the last general election when he flopped fairly miserably, came back with only 35 seats, Fine Gael's worst election in 75 years in terms of the percentage of votes that they got. Then entering that historic government with the old Civil War alliance with Fianna Fáil and the Green Party and the rotating Taoiseach. And in the intervening period, he had the high point of COVID-19 when the country was in a state of absolute crisis. You know, he stepped up and showed leadership and made those addresses to the nation and told people, you know, these are decisions that were taken. Some of them are going to be very tough and it's going to be hard, but we're going to get through it. He'll also be credited with guiding the country through Brexit. Took good solid diplomatic steps there in terms of lobbying both the EU, the US and the UK in terms of ensuring no damage to Northern Ireland and
yes,
and protecting the peace process. And, you know, there was never a perfect solution to all of that, but we've got the best one available. He'll get credit for that. On the flip side, he won't get credit for losing control of the housing crisis. The immigration crisis has also emerged as a factor. Law and order under Fine Gael, the Law and Order Party, has got progressively worse. The health service hasn't improved all that dramatically. At a time when the economy is flying, we're still in the same situation. We've a superb economy and we've a struggling society, and that's basically why Leo Varadkar was struggling to gain support from the public. There was an element as well. He came back as Taoiseach 16 months ago, December 2022, and didn't really seem to have another game in him as such. You know, in football parlance, the legs were gone.
Yes.
You know, the mojo was gone. Whatever it was, that energy that he brought in the first term just wasn't there. And part of that's his own fault. He didn't refresh his cabinet team. He went for the minimal amount of changes there. Didn't refresh his backroom team either. Same people, same faces. No fresh ideas. There was a lot of talk about a renewed mandate and focusing on particular issues. They didn't really come to pass. So ultimately, he's probably made the right decision that the referendum, if he didn't have his mind made up already by then, may well have been the final straw, that this was a guy, yes, who had lost touch with the electorate when you're losing by record margins a proposal that should have been kind of, you know, either A, not put in the first place, or B, had more thought and attention and a campaign behind it. But the local and European elections were coming up in 3 months' time. In the local elections, Fine Gael were expecting a drubbing. They were expecting to take another hammering there. And they didn't have a great one last time either. In the European elections of last time out, 2019, that was Leo Varadkar's electoral high point. He won 5 European seats. Fine Gael takes European elections very seriously. This was seen to be a good sign for him. Probably, you know, masked what was a bad local, wasn't a great local elections. So suddenly people were realizing this thesis that Leo Varadkar would be a vote magnet for Fine Gael, and that he would really push them on and open them up to new cohorts of voters, would probably wearing off at that point, where people were going, that hasn't really happened. And then the general election followed on from that. So when you're looking ahead to 3 months' time, going, do you know what? Regardless of what happens here, there's going to be question marks over his leadership after the coming local and European elections.
Yes.
He's got out ahead of that, which is probably wise.
Now, another factor, I wonder how important or significant it was that 10 Fine Gael TDs have recently announced that they won't seek re-election. That seems to me to be a very serious matter indeed.
Yeah, loyalty is a phrase that comes to mind in Fine Gael these days. There doesn't really seem to be any great loyalty towards, you know, towards the party or... and that kind of comes from the top as well. Nobody really believes that Leo Varadkar, you know, was in this for the long haul. He was talking about getting out by the age of 50. He seemed
he's 45.
He seemed to be kind of always eyeing up other gigs and so on. And if you go back to Enda Kenny's days, there were TDs who ran in 2007 and 2011 and 2016 under Enda Kenny, who basically said, I'm kind of doing this for the party. I'm doing this for Enda. I remember in 2007, there was a couple of TDs that said to me, listen, I shouldn't really be running this time, but you know, if I don't run, we won't hold this seat, and Enda needs that to become Taoiseach. So there was a kind of an imbibed loyalty within the party towards the leader. And very definitely that has drifted away. Now, part of that is the party's been in government too long. And when you're in government this long, you lose touch with the electorate, you lose touch with your party. Your party loses touch with itself. What exactly Fine Gael stands for at this stage is kind of anybody's guess, really. So there is that difficulty there. And certainly when you have 10 TDs, some of whom shouldn't really be going. I mean, they're not. There are fellas who are of what you'd call retirement age. You know, Charlie Flanagan, Michael Creed, you know, party veterans who come from political dynasties and find they're moving on. But there's other guys like Brendan Griffin and Kieran Cannon, who announced his intention to not run the next election. He's a loss. He's a good, decent person who has got empathy. He works hard at a constituency level. He still has something to offer. So that he said he spoke to Leo Varadkar about this and Leo tried to get him to run again, but you know, he wasn't for it. So, you know, people were just coming to the view, listen, I've done my time and I want to move on to do other things. And maybe that's part and part of the politics. We often complain that maybe politicians hang around for too long. Maybe it's a good thing that people are saying after, be it 10 years, 15 or 20, no, I'm going to do something different and I'll give somebody else a chance. Maybe that's a good thing. So, the numbers were racking up and we don't think it's going to stop at 10. We can now add Leo Varadkar to that list because nobody has any view that he is going to run the next general election. There's a couple of others as well. The guys at the top in terms of Varadkar, Coveney and Donoghue seem to be seeing what else was on the horizon for them. There's almost an element of Leo Varadkar became bored with being leader of the country. And if you're bored being leader of the country, well, you know, maybe you should move on.
Now, we're talking about a successor, and Simon Harris's name was the first one out of the hat. There's no denying that he is prepared. He's assiduously courted his colleagues. You say in your piece in today's Independent, or you quote Party TD, one of his colleagues, as saying, Harris is a gifted communicator, but I just see a facade with no depth. Pascal Donoghue is head and shoulders above him, but I don't know if he wants it. Pascal has a warmth to him. Yes, he's steely when he needs to be, but is much more emotionally intelligent. He had a bad general election. That's when he was director of elections. But I have to say, I've met Harris on a couple of occasions, and he was glib, shallow, and quite unpleasant. But he has been preparing for this. He's 37 years of age. He was in health, for example. Did he do anything there?
Yeah, so this is the criticism of Simon Harris, all soundbite, no substance. He is a very skilled communicator. When he was Minister of Health, he had a great ability to put on that furrowed brow and look very concerned about the situation and say whatever calamity befit the health service at the time, that, you know, he was absolutely going to bring everything to address it. But the question mark about him, you know, is there a broad overarching vision here, or does he just want power for power's sake? Now, on the flip side, very often a criticism of Enda Kenny throughout his tenure as Fine Gael leader for a decade and a half was that, you know, he's not intelligent enough. What exactly does he want, and so on and so forth? But Kenny had an ability to appoint good people around him and get on with the job, match the skills to the personalities. And, you know, maybe Harris has got that. We don't know. What we do know is that he has a hunger. He has an energy. The party membership, which does count in a situation like this, you know, do like him. They do feel that he actually has an appetite and a bit of a ruthless streak to him that will mean that he wants to drive on and make, you know, achieve things for the party at the very least. And that, you know, he's somebody who they can sell to the voters. What they're unclear about is Pascal Donoghue, high intellect, great visionary, great ability to connect with people on all sorts of levels.
A good minister in the finance portfolio, yes.
Good minister in finance, good minister in public expenditure, widely admired. I mean, he's on his second term as head of the Eurozone finance ministers, so that's not without its accolades as well. It means that he is held in very high regard by his colleagues on an international level. But here's the problem: he's got that job at the moment. He says it hasn't distracted from his domestic duties, and that's fair enough. But he was being linked quite heavily until 2 weeks ago with being the head of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, based in Washington, D.C. And if it hasn't fallen his way, because the incumbent is being reappointed for a second term. But, I mean, if you know, he wasn't ruling himself out of that. If the men in grey suits had come knocking, he would have been heading off to Washington, D.C. up till a fortnight ago. So the question mark will be raised of, well, does he want to be Taoiseach, or does he just have his eye on moving to something else on the international stage? And that's the problem that, that Fine Gael have now. They've got one guy who wants the job, who is by no means the perfect candidate, but he actually wants it and is showing a hunger for it and has actually assiduously tapped up party members and has gone around the country meeting people and is seen to be somebody who is presentable and so on and so forth.
Has he any political achievements to his name in any of the ministries that he's held? Or my impression of him is that he's, and I don't mean this in a desperately unkind way, he's always been on the make.
Yeah, it
you know, courting popularity.
Courting popularity,
and doing nothing.
And basically saying the obvious or right thing, or you know, he has a habit as well of flipping between positions if the wind changes. I mean, this was a guy who started out in Fianna Fáil and was pro-life and ultimately became a liberal Fine Gael minister. So, you know, how do you go on that route? But he, during his time as Minister for Health, you know, he was beset by the calamities that every other minister is, which is you get bogged down in waiting lists, perennial crises around the winter clog, which happens every year inside in the health service, and putting a plan in place to address that, and then the same thing happening the following year in record numbers and trotties. So he got stuck in all of that. There's no great record of reform. He was the minister in charge of health, though, when the abortion referendum was guided through, and when the abortion legislation was passed, and that right. regime was put in place. So in terms of an achievement, given that what we saw 2 weeks ago with the referendum,
yes.
that's not an insignificant achievement on his part. As Minister for Higher Education, he has, you know, he's restructured the, what was the traditional RTC or IT Institutes of Technology system into collating them together into collections of universities, and he's also brought about some reforms in terms of CAO, and also trying to emphasize that it's not all about the points race, but it still is all about the points race, but that there are other options in terms of apprenticeships and so on and so forth. So he's been going down a solid enough path there, but it's a fairly small and innocuous enough. I mean, it's half of the you know, it's a third of the previous job of the previous Minister of Education. So it's not exactly a big portfolio. What that job did allow him to do, though, was Varadkar handed him the keys to the Fine Gael leadership there, because yep. he basically allowed him to travel the country, meeting with people, making announcements, meeting with the local Fine Gael TDs, senators and councillors along the way. So he built his relationships and his network that way. And that's why you've got so many people coming out now, because Simon Harris has seemed to have put in the groundwork there where others haven't. So he's been looking at this vacancy for around about 4 years. He was caught out by surprise as much as everybody else yesterday, but you know, it won't have taken him long to readjust.
We are he had his Neil Richmond, who is a very popular and I think a very capable TD, was on Morning Ireland this morning. They were out of the traps. Neil Richmond has been a friend of his, I think he said, for 20 years. So they're ready to go, and there's no sign of any movement from anybody else.
No, that's the thing. I mean, yeah. Harris has now got, he's got Neil Richmond, he's got Peter Burke, who's another rising yeah. star in the party, very held in high regard. Francis Fitzgerald, who was once Simon Harris's mentor, he worked in her office at one point. Former deputy leader, she's out behind him. Frank Fian, TD. There's a number of senators who've come out. There was a scattering of councillors as well. So all the early running has been behind Simon Harris. But nonetheless, as we point out, there are people who are of the view anybody but Simon Harris as the yes. next Fine Gael leader that he is too shallow. So we will see that. That's all very well and good saying, well, anybody but Harris, but there has to be somebody credible put up against him, because they're going to have a fight on his hands. It's probable that he has already in the bag up to 40% of the TDs, senators.
Can you explain
and
to us how the Electoral College, how it's made up?
Yeah, it's a hybrid system where you basically have three separate electoral colleges. You've got the parliamentary party, which is the 54 TDs, senators, and MEPs, so that they make up 65% of the total vote. So that's basically where you win it. Then you've got, there's 20,000 paid up party members. They take 25% of the votes. And then there's just short of 250 councillors, and they account for 10% of the vote. So this is a new system that was brought in. It was first utilized in 2017 with Leo Varadkar versus Simon Coveney. It was effectively over within 48 hours. It went on for a whole month, but it was over because Leo Varadkar was ready. He was out of the traps fast. He had the vast majority of the parliamentary party in the bag already before Coveney was even up out of bed. And, you know, Coveney went on to win the vote amongst the party membership, but it didn't matter. So what Harris will be hoping is that he can build up a substantial head of steam, a momentum such that he can show, well, I've got a big block of the parliamentary party, and maybe that scares off other contenders. So Simon Coveney not running, Helen McEntee not running. It's down now really to Heather Humphreys or Pascal Donoghue, and more likely Pascal Donoghue, because, you know, ultimately people don't see Heather Humphreys being in that space. Very good deputy leader material, tarnished material, that's fine, but they don't see her as leader of the party. So it's down to whether Pascal Donoghue decides to challenge Harris or not. We know that Harris is definitely in the race, even though he hasn't declared yet, but we're waiting to see, is there actually going to be a contest or a coronation here?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just a couple of final questions, and we're very grateful to Fanon for joining us. When all the tributes are paid to this coalition government, the three parties being the Greens, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, people agree that Brexit was an achievement, both for Leo Varadkar and indeed for Micheál Martin, and also the country's economy is strong, and they're the two things that are said to have worked. The things that remain are housing and health, and immigration is becoming an issue as well, is an issue actually, but housing and health remain intractable. If you were a politician of Leo Varadkar's age, 45, if you looked coldly at what we can do in housing and health, where things are at such a terrible stage, you'd be inclined to give up. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, well, it's difficult to see how they can make, whoever the new Taoiseach is, can make significant gains in the housing and health space over the course of 12 months. And a new Fine Gael leader potentially makes it more likely now that we'll see out the full 12 months until February, March of next year. That's a bigger possibility than it was this time yesterday under Leo Varadkar. So, can you bring about dramatic reductions in waiting lists in health in 12 months? Probably not. No, I mean, there's no shortage of money there. And on the housing side, can you increase capacity more? No, you can't. So it's going to be about how you pitch that to the public in terms of like the progress that is being made. There is some progress being made, but not at a fast enough pace. Ultimately, they're still playing catch up. So are you heading into a third election where housing becomes the dominant issue and yet again, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are on the back foot in that regard? So that's a possibility. Then you play up to other issues. And within Fine Gael, there is kind of a view that they've lost touch with their core. This is the law and order party, supposedly, yes, but yet we have riots on the streets. Immigration has, the immigration system has come in and been seen to be in disrepute. So if you can focus on that area, that's probably somewhere you can make some progress. In terms of at least putting an emphasis on it. On the taxation side, if Fine Gael are the taxation party, then they can certainly start getting their skids on in terms of dominating that conversation ahead of the next budget. And also the other one is rural communities. They're seen to have lost touch there, and they're losing ground to independence. So if you're the new Fine Gael leader, you'd have to say there are certain things that are beyond your control. You can really just package up and put lipstick on the pig that is the housing and health situations. And you can probably just focus on your core vote and trying to expand the vote that you get on other issues, such as the economy, justice, taxation and rural affairs, and that's probably where they're at this stage. If you go to full 12 months from now, you basically say, look, the country needs stable government, we're offering that. The other option is the crowd over there who go around calling for a general election every 5 minutes, and all they really do is say, you know, we want a motion, no confidence, and every time a few weeks after a general election, they're saying they want another general election. Do you want them, where you don't know what they stand for, or do you want us? And that's basically the pitch. At this stage, I don't think there is enough time to be all that radically different.
One final question. When I saw Micheál Martin interviewed after Leo Varadkar had made his announcement, he looked rather shaken. He clearly said that he'd been told, as had Eamon Ryan, the leader of Greens, the night before. He looked shaken. This departure and these changes that are afoot, bad news for the government.
Yeah, I mean, it. If you're trying to pitch, as we just discussed, we're the stable crowd, you know, you can rely on us and so on and so forth, and you're on your third Taoiseach, unprecedented in terms of any government to date. Well, then that's a bit, you know, that doesn't add to this perspective that, you know, you are the ones that are reliable. So that's a problem there. Also, look, I mean, Micheál doesn't know who is going to come in. Whoever does come in will be under more pressure probably than Leo to show that they are playing to the party base. So that could create tensions and difficulties as well. They're in their final year. There is some talk that, these lads need to find a reason to fall out and cause a general election. I don't think that'll wash with the public at this stage. It'll look fabricated. The question then will be, well, look, you know, you didn't fall out over several issues over the past 4 and a bit years. So why are you falling out now? That's just a thing for the opening days of the campaign. It doesn't really tend to serve any purpose beyond that. So they have to stick together for the long haul, and that could be more difficult now. There were certainly tensions with Leo Varadkar when he was tarnished. He seemed to be constantly trying to undermine Micheál Martin as Taoiseach. Then when he became Taoiseach, he kind of calmed down a bit. There were a few fights along the way, but nothing that brought things to the brink. They've got through a few crises as well. Issues around Pascal Donoghue's election expenses, issues around Helen McEntee and her capability as Minister for Justice, and they've had the obvious challenges of immigration and housing. So, yeah, it could be a rocky final 12 months for Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan now as they adjust to a new Fine Gael leader and Taoiseach being in place.
Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of Independent Newspapers, thank you very much for joining us. We're grateful to Fionnán, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.